Welcome to the Life Boss Podcast. Are you ready to be unstoppable? Karen Mieses here, your business strategist and productivity expert, calling BS on the lies keeping us stuck. I share with you the top tips and tricks to hug your body, soul, and mind so that you squash all the overwhelm, stop glorifying stress, and design a business that brings you joy. If you are ready to show up and work smarter, I want to show you how to become unstoppable. Let's dive in. Whether or not you are a new entrepreneur or have been running your own online business for a while, if you are here, you know already that you need to take steps to transform your business and your income. You may love your business, but it's not bringing in the sort of income you optimistically anticipated. Or worse, maybe you are barely getting by, or your significant other is griping about how much time it takes and the poor results it seems to bring. These are common scenarios among online entrepreneurs. And many people that I have been working on this year, particularly coaches, who tend to be caring people who put helping others first. But here's the thing. There's absolutely no need for you to deprive yourself while helping others. In fact, that's counterproductive. And what's worse, may make you feel like you are a fraud. You feel caught in the proverbial catch 22, where the harder you work, the more you spin your financial wheels. Yes, this episode is for you if you feel stuck in any way, and that's why you are still here listening to me 2 minutes in. We are going to take a look at 5 simple money mindset steps you can take to get the ball rolling again and break that cycle. And to step it up and make this episode very actionable, I created a special abundance journal for highly creative women. And for the 2% of men that listen to the show, yes, you can use the journal, but I created it as a woman for other women. And having in mind that I have a very analytical, statistical mind, and all these concepts of abundance and attraction and high frequency, all the juju, more metaphysical topics are very hard for me to grasp and bring it to earth and to the ground. So these are things that have allowed me to work with my feminine and masculine side, with the yin and the yang, with the analytical side and the emotional side, and balancing it out so that throughout this year, I have been able to be centered and balanced throughout all the demands that I have had that are very emotional with the family, with the kids, with homeschooling, and at the same time with the business and the data and what the market is saying, and finding a sense of new purpose, leading and allowing my decisions to be guided with how I want to feel now and not waiting for later. So with all that said, let's get right to it. So the first step is to challenge your money belief systems. Everyone has a belief system about the basics in life. For example, about religion. You can probably put a name to your own personal religious system, even if that name happens to be agnostic or even atheist. When it comes to religious to religion, most people know what they believe. But the amazing thing about finances is that most people take their money beliefs for granted and do not even question them. So I want to challenge you to think about your money belief system and challenge it. When you first planned or set up your business, did you stop and think about your money belief system and how it was going to affect your ability to reach your financial goals? Did you make specific financial goals? Do you know how much you have to spend on your business? How much you need to make versus how much you want to make? If you answer no, then it's time to revisit what you believe about money. If you answer yes, but I'm frustrated because I'm nowhere near where I thought I would be financially, that goes for you too. Let's take a look at common beliefs that trip people up every day, myself included, as well as common money mistakes. See how well you can actually answer the following questions. I'm including multiple choice answers to help you get going and stretch those money muscles. And if you do not have the abundance journal, it is in the description to this episode. So make sure that you grab that. Number one, what do you believe about getting rich? A, it only happens to others. B, it's immoral. C, the universe can supply enough to everybody. Or D, I cannot wait to be rich. Number two, which of the following describes your internal deserve level? A, I never seem to have enough, the universe hates me. B, if I get money, something bad happens to take it away. C, it's amazing how I just get by with enough to meet my basic needs, but not a penny left over. D, I feel like a fraud, so I do not charge what others charge for the same services. And E, I'm ready to step up and make enough money to reach all my goals and have some left over to help others with. Question number three, which of these statements feel most true for you? A, money is the root of all evil. B, money is something that other people have. Money isn't important. Helping others is all I really care about. D, money is something I make easily, but I never seem to have enough for my needs. D, money is usually the last thing I think about until I need to pay a bill. E, money is a game to me, not a goal. F, money is a powerful tool that helps me through life. G, money allows me to help people, including myself. Before you ever plan to earn a dime, sit down and really think about your financial belief system. In addition to answering the previous questions for yourself, write down all the common mantras you find yourself using whenever you think of money. For example, money is the root of all evil, or I'm not as good, so I cannot charge as much as other coaches or consultants, or I'm new, I need to give discounts. It's like facing the boogeyman. When you sit down and really look at a boogeyman, you almost inevitably realize you've made him bigger than he needs to be and given him too much power. And what's more, you realize that he's just a boogeyman and doesn't even exist. Well, I was watching John Wick, so I may have gotten that boogeyman from the movie. Obsessed. I watched the whole three movies last weekend. But moving on, it's the same with money beliefs buried deep in your subconscious. They are usually so deep, they go back a long way, maybe even back to your childhood. Often these beliefs are not even ours. They are beliefs we have inherited from our parents and grandparents. Have you heard, like I did a lot, money does not grow on trees. You have to work hard. You need to earn it. Those are the type of things that may be coming up to you when you least need it. So these deeply ingrained beliefs and mantras that we are not even aware of, but repeat to ourselves over and over, are the types of money beliefs it's especially hard to transform. And they are the ones that get in the way when we are setting goals. If you were the one that listened to episode 64 about goals and you got stuck and you didn't know, okay, I don't even know what I want to put here, this episode is for you. Once you go through this clearance of negative beliefs, it will be easier for you to go to your goal setting phase and go through that worksheet and then allow yourself to dream bigger than big. Sometimes we need coaching, counseling, or even therapy to get past childhood stuff. One thing that have helped me immensely is something called tapping. And in the resources below, I'm gonna share a link to some tapping resources that I keep sharing with my clients over and over. They are free for now, as of the recording of this. They are not mine, but I want you to have it as a tool to start exploring and reprogramming yourself. And what I have found is that very often it's simply a matter of looking at what we deeply believe and asking ourselves, is this a valid belief? Is this statement actually true? I'm willing to bet that if you complete the abundance journal, answering its questions and examining your frequently repeating money mantras, you won't need an expert to tell you which of those answers are true or valid and which are negative and self-defeating. Trust your own intuition, trust your skills and experience. You are amazing. You are more powerful and more capable of generating the income you want that you think. Start by making a commitment to throw out negative money beliefs and replace those harmful, untrue mantras with positive ones. And again, remember to get the Abundance Journal for Highly Creative Women. It is in the description to this episode. The second money mindset that it's important to cultivate is changing that mindset from rigid to flexible. If you have tried to change your money belief and experienced nothing but resistance, this happened to me, from your subconscious, the most likely cause is a rigid, inflexible mindset. That's not something you consciously design. It's just that you have developed and embraced one way of handling finances and you have done it that way for so many years. It is very hard to step sideways and try something else. Think of it like a runner running the same path day after day. First, the grass gets worn down. Then there's nothing but a thin ribbon of burn mud where the runner's feet pass daily. Then grooves get worn into the mud and it becomes harder and harder to vary that path, the runner needs to make a conscious effort to leap out of the grooves and break through new grass, which has grown tall all around the path from never being run on. Make sense? That is exactly what happens to our mind when we repeat the same thought over and over again or perform the same action the same way. Psychologists explain it by saying we have hardwired patterns into our brain, and it takes tremendous effort, consciousness, and commitment, along with daily repetition, to break that and create new patterns. Yes, the habits. How this manifests when it comes to money habits and beliefs, you find you just cannot get past that negative self-defeating mantra, even though your conscious mind totally sees that it's faulty and ineffective. Childhood mantras are particularly hard to transform. I'm 46 and I've been working myself on this for a decade, and it was not until I found tapping 2 years ago that I really have major breakthroughs. And they are hard to transform because they are really ingrained and impressed into our psyche. And any good psychologist will tell you, it's never a question of being stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's a question of looking for alternate exits that consist of neither and making the conscious decision to try them. It's leaving the easy path and trailblazing new ones, sometimes exciting to do and sometimes frightening, or even just nuances to remember to try. It's not a question of jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. It's a question of not stepping into the frying pan the next time someone holds it out in front of you. In other words, it's not just about changing your money belief, it's about changing your responses to money matters and decision. Doing this consciously, noting the results, and repeating new reaction mantras or habits until they become your new normal. The third money mindset is to correct these 5 most common money mistakes. And this could be like a whole other episode. And there are 5 certain money mistakes that new or struggling entrepreneurs seem to make over and over again. We have talked about some throughout this year, but let's take a look at them and what we can do to avoid or correct them. The most common, and it's a surprisingly simple mistake. Number one, not creating a separate bank account for your business. Even if you use one of your existing personal bank accounts, keep that bank account dedicated to your business. Do not write personal checks or interact out of your account for personal expenses. Instead, write yourself a paycheck, cash it, and do all your personal spending out of that. Move that energy from one account to the other, from your business account to your personal account, even if it's $25 a month because you are buying coffee to use the Wi-Fi at the coffee shop, for example. Number two, not budgeting or tracking expenses. Another surprising mistake many entrepreneurs make. And a typical example, it's spending on courses to learn how to do a task, and at the end of it, still not being able to do the task because you never had time to actually devote to the course you bought. So what does the average new entrepreneur do? You guessed it. You buy another course. A better solution might be to outsource that particular task or automated, but you will never know if you do not track your expenses and create a working budget. You need to know not only how much you need to make every month in order to meet your goals, but also how much you have spent. Number three of these common money mistakes we make is doing it all ourselves. And we devoted episode 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60 to debunking the myth that we all have to do it all on ourselves. And you have links to those episodes below these. Those are really short episodes. But while it's a good thing to have a strong grasp of where you are financially, and it's an even better thing to record and track your finances daily, it's a mistake to isolate yourself in financial decisions that you make. Talking to an accountant or a business advisor should be a first step, not one for down the road. You need to know what categories to create so you will know which receipts to save and what expenses you can claim. A bookkeeper is a great asset, and we go into that on episode 59. And it can also be a wise strategy to hire a business coach for yourself so you can discuss financial decisions with him or her. Even if you cannot yet afford ongoing sessions with a coach, you can usually always arrange for a one-time consultation, and this can, in the long run, be a real money-saving, mistake-avoiding option. Many coaches and consultants, myself included, offer free strategy sessions. But if you are a coach or have been talking to several coaches in the past, you are aware that they are usually followed by a pitch for an ongoing commitment. So if you are uncomfortable with saying no, pay for the consultation. Whether you ultimately decide to do your financials yourself or outsource it, make sure you A, know what receipts to keep and have a system for recording them, and B, make a conscious decision on your financial strategy and routine. Do not just spend first, then try to figure out later. Number four into these mistakes we need to reframe is not realizing the relationship between cause and effect. Here's how this particular mistake manifests financially. You have a dream, you want to buy an island and live on it. You have been specific. You have created a vision board which contains photos of the type of island you want in the location you love, the types of house you are going to build on it. You have added other things to your vision board to help inspire you. Meanwhile, you wish you had enough money at the end of the month to afford a night out at the movies. Are you likely to achieve that dream of living on your island in a beautiful house? No, because there's a huge disconnect between what you are doing now every day and what you need to do to get there. In reality, you repeat the same actions, charge the same fees, and run your business the same way, day after day. And at the end of each month, there you are again, wishing you had enough money left over to go to the movies. I call this type of dreaming little kid dreaming, because it has about as much relation to reality as when a nine-year-old's dream of finding themselves at Hogwarts with wizardly powers. Not gonna happen. It's just fiction. It is fun. It's wonderful to daydream. I highly encourage it, but it is fiction. And if you do not tie a plan to that dream, it just stays being a dream. What you need to do is
Yes, identify your main goal. We have episodes 63 and 64 all about goals. Analyze where you are now. Analyze specifically where you would like to be at the end of your journey, next month, in 6 months, in a year, in 5 years. Though I try to avoid the 5 years because we need to be flexible. We need to be flexible. So it's an idea of how you want to feel and where you want to be in those 5 years. Then decide what you are doing now that is not moving you forward your goals towards both the little steps and the big goals. Figure out what you need to stop doing, do differently, or start doing. Figure out what one rewarding thing you would like to achieve in your business and or income, like by the end of next month, by the end of 6 months, by the end of the year, and celebrate what you are accomplishing weeks by weeks. For those of you that have been listening to me for some time, you know that I have my champagne Fridays, my champagne moments, and with COVID, it became karaoke Saturday. But celebrate. Then figure out what specific steps you need to take to achieve each milestones and mini goals. Make a plan. Make a commitment to following that plan. And start following it and sticking to it. That's the way you propel yourself towards any goal. That and being financially specific. It's not enough to say, I want to buy a 2021 BMW by next September. You need to say, I need to save $25,000 to buy a 2021 BMW by next September the 1st. And the number five mistake regarding money is undercharging clients and underpaying yourself. This final mistake is a biggie because it afflicts women entrepreneurs in particular. It's all tied in with your life experiences and your deserve level that we were assessing at the beginning of this episode. Deserve levels have nothing to do with what person is worth. Instead, deserve levels have everything to do with what people think they are worth. If you constantly find yourself undercharging, if your clients get rich, but your fees are still stuck at entry level, and especially if you feel like a fraud while providing services that get results for clients, if they are getting results, you are good, then you definitely have a low deserve level. And if your clients are happy experiencing transformations and getting results, then that deserve level you've set for yourself is about as justified as the over-entitled narcissistic that's full of herself. What does that mean? If you are delivering results to your client, your deserve level should be very high. In other words, it's not about what you are worth at all. It's about how you feel about the self-worth. A big clue that you might be suffering from an abnormally low deserve level if you find yourself feeling like a fraud. That's got a name. It's called imposter syndrome, and it occurs when women are conned into thinking that they ought to feel as perfect as their own icon and ideals seem to feel. Talk to any top expert, however, and you'll find that they too often suffer from imposter syndrome. They have just learned how to name it and set it aside and go for what they want. Even if you are just starting out, never undercut your own value. Do not discount prices. Instead, run time limited introductory specials and really stress that time limit. Or offer your introductory rate to the first X number of people who sign up. Make sure people know any lower rate you set is strictly time limited, numbers limited, and introductory. But be true to yourself. Focus on your clients, not on your low deserve level. And make it a privilege to be one of the first few to experience working with you or whatever other service you provide. You need to fix your deserve level before you set any monetary goals and before you go any further. I'm confident that after you go through these 5 money mindset steps that we are working on this episode, you are going to be able to go back to episode 64 and work on your goals with so much vibrancy, energy, confidence, and momentum. So let's go to money mindset number 4. Change your negative tapes. Undercharging can also come out of unrecognized negative mantras, the leftovers of old money beliefs that no longer serve you and that are most likely not even valid. For example, the thought, I'm a newbie online, can instantly create low deserve level when it comes to setting prices. That's when it is important to change that repetitive negative tape and thought and replace it with one that is more realistic and more positive. Psychologists used to call this changing the tape back in the day when people used recording machines and actual tapes. And what they now call is reframing. Reframing refers to taking a negative thought and belief and transforming it into a more realistic, healthy, and positive thought, one that inspires action rather than depression. And I'm laughing here because I still tell my kids, change the tape, and they have no clue what I am talking about, but it is reframing. So, getting back on track, here's a little mental trick you can apply every time you catch and identify a negative tape. Number one, name that old tape thought. Number two, take the emotion out of it and describe the situation realistically. And number three, change that message into a positive, reality-based message. For example, old tape, I'm a newbie, I cannot charge big bucks yet. Reality, I am capable of providing what is needed, but people just do not know me yet. Reframe this thought, which is number three, I deserve to charge what my services are worth as much as any other expert in my field. One final tape you must change before you can start achieving bigger financial and life goals is the tape that identifies change as fear. Ask any top Olympian if she's nervous before a race. Ask any stage actress if she's nervous before a performance, and the answer is most likely to be a variation of yes. It's not that top performers do not feel the fear, is that they equate fear with living, with being alive, with excitement. Jodi Jelas addresses this in her book, Lady Balls. We all know that the most rewarding thing yet to be done in life gives us two feelings. Excitement and fears. And you can find a link to her book, it's really good, in the description below. Consciously change your old tape from fear responses to excitement. Consciously change your old tape that identifies your glass as half empty to my glass is half full. Do this for any old tape that holds you back or keeps you stuck at the same income level or give you that doomed feeling. Thoughts such as others become superstar, but it's just not in me. Change the tape, okay? You have permission to change the tape. The most important step you need to take, however, is to faithfully follow the tape busting sequence we just discussed every time you catch yourself running one of those old tapes, okay? And above all, do not miss the second step, transforming the old negative thought into a reality-based statement. Without the specific step, your new reframe thought is likely to be a very over-optimistic or off-kilter. And what's worse, you won't believe the new thought without a firm grasp of the reality behind both the old and new thought. This second reality step is what grounds the new reframed affirmation and gives it the sort of emotional weight that will stick. Last but not least, the fifth money mindset that we must cultivate: finding a goal that transforms and inspires us. I mean, you. The final step to take when changing your money mindset for the better: find a goal that lights you up like a Christmas tree. Find a goal that is going to obsess you, possess you, and above all, inspire you. Something that makes it hard for you to go to set it aside and go to bed. And something that makes you eager to wake up and bounce out of bed again in the morning so you can work towards it. It should feel as if every morning is the first day of a dream vacation if you are playing, not working. Now, the reality is that no matter how much one loves one's vocation, every day is simply not like that. There are boring tasks to take care of, difficult moments to face, hard decisions to make, and days when the routine feels stressful rather than empowering. But there are ways to minimize this and revitalize your business. If your passion is something you work at, that's a huge plus on so many counts. Research has proven that when we believe in what we are doing and on a deep emotional level, we do more, we achieve more, and we work harder and enjoy it on our way to our goals. So if you don't have a goal that transforms you, that makes you committed to your own success so you can reach that goal, find a way to tailor your current life towards that. And that's all about that. Just that sentence is episode 64, the one before this one. People do not make commitments to things that do not inspire them. It's as simple as that. Oh, they may think they do and firmly mean to do so, but the fact is, if someone hates what they are doing or does not believe in it or it bores them before they even start, it will not be long before they find ways to procrastinate, avoid tasks related to the goal, and distracting themselves. And then the new resolutions fall by the wayside, right? In extreme cases, people have been known to make themselves even ill, not even realizing they are doing so, or have breakdowns. In less extreme cases, constant stress, depression, and feeling of failure make every day a chore. And here's the thing. If you believe in something strongly enough, you will do the yucky parts that you would normally avoid. And when you get into the habit of investing in action, you not only move forward, you create momentum, kind of like running downhill. Or think of downhill ski racing. You start at the top of a hill and you push yourself off. You start off at a good speed, but momentum soon makes you gather speed and you have to focus and concentrate on controlling it and reaching the finish line. That momentum is what makes every money mindset and business habit easier and easier to practice every time you repeat that habit or mantra or action. And that's what people who are stuck often do not realize. That it's always hard at first to break a pattern or change a habit, but the truth is, every time you repeat that particular mantra or habit, it becomes easier and easier and it's naturally self-reinforcing. Make sense? There's another, even better side effect of breaking out of old, comfortable, but negative patterns. You start to experience success, and success builds confidence. The truth is, although there are steps you can and should take to deal with all negative patterns, it's really not all about fixing your self-confidence first, then going out and succeeding at something. It's about taking action. It's about making a commitment that helps you to step out of your comfort zone, grinding your teeth and performing the action, then surprising yourself with success. Because success breeds self-confidence. It's not the shallow self-confidence of repeating some I'm worth it type affirmation. Is the confidence of knowing you can do something again because you did it before. Is the confidence of seeing a good result from your action. And you are more likely to make that commitment and take action if you have a goal that drives you, inspires you, and ignites you. Something you cannot stop dreaming about or envisioning. Just remember to be specific about the financial part when you make your goal-reaching plans. Let's go over our 5 money mindset steps and summarize what we just cover. Number 1, challenge your money belief system. Number 2, change your mindset from rigid to flexible. Number 3, correct the 5 most common money mindset mistakes. Number 4, change your negative tapes. Number 5, find a goal that transforms and inspires you. I won't guarantee you, though, a house on an island, but I do guarantee that if you make a commitment to do this and tackle each of these 5 steps to the best of your ability, you will see positive changes begin to happen very quickly. If you give the changes a fair chance and perspective. So I encourage you to go get your abundance journal for the creative women. And then go to episode 64 if you haven't, and make sure that you go through your goal setting for the next 90 days, the next 3 months, to gain the momentum that's going to allow you to thrive in the coming month and in the coming year. Thank you for tuning in, Rockstar. If you enjoyed today's show, subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. Also, head over to lifebosspodcast.com to get access to some free resources to help you with today's experiment. Do you want to be a guest? Email me to thelifebosspodcast@gmail.com to learn how.